You are listening to Valor Voices, a production of the Valor Officer Safety and Wellness Program. The Valor Program is funded through grants from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, BJA, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. The points of view and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the podcast authors and do not necessarily represent the official positions or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. Here's your host.
Hi, I'm John Bouthelet, a lead instructor with the Valor Program and host for this edition of Valor Voices podcast. I'm joined today by Lieutenant Brandon Post with the Provo, Utah Police Department. Brandon is also a member of the Valor Instructional Team and is a subject expert on the topic of physical wellness. Brandon is a certified physical fitness specialist and a member of the Provo Police Fitness Committee and has taught on the topic of fitness, health, and wellness for 15 years. How are we doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, John?
Great. Brandon, I wanted to get you to talk to us today about the concept of diet, but specifically as it relates to the process of planning your meals. Let's kind of talk about diet real quick and why it's so important to us law enforcement.
Okay. The interesting thing is that there's been some data that's come out recently that's shown we're actively becoming more active, but despite the increased activity levels, we're still becoming more obese than we used to be. Which shows that diet is really, there's a couple sayings. Runners say you can't outrun a bad diet. Gym rats say you can't outwork a bad diet. Diet is critically important for maintaining a healthy weight and healthy lifestyle.
You know what the interesting thing is, Brandon, I go back to my days on midnight shift. The options, what I have to eat are limited, you know, during old dark 30. There's nothing but usually it's going to be high fat, high calorie, you know, cheeseburger, eggs and bacon. And so I wonder how do we get over that? So if I'm an officer out there who's looking to eat better, how do I get past the diet options that I have in the field?
And I've worked a lot of graves, same thing. There just are not good options on graveyard or midnight shift or however you want to refer to it. But, the solution for me, and I've been able to work with some of the guys we work with, we've been able to do meal planning. I think, now when we say meal planning, there's always groans like, I got to do a ton of cooking and planning and it's all this work. I have found over the years that meal planning saves so much time because you can do it all in one day and you're not every single day trying to figure out what you're going to cook or going through this whole rigmarole in the kitchen every single day. It's a once a week process, preparing all your lunches for work. It saved me a ton of time and helps ensure that I can eat healthy while I'm out there and not go with some of these unhealthy or negative options.
So it's playing ahead of time, doing bulk cooking, and then setting up your meals for whatever your shift work is going to look like. Is that what we're talking about?
Right.
So there's really no need to cook every single day before I go to work.
And I think it saves a ton of time. So just to kind of walk you through the process that I found that works best for me. I mean, this isn't the only or maybe not even the best solution, but it really has worked for me and a bunch of the guys that I work with. On one day a week, set it aside, and I'll do this with my wife. We'll cook just a bunch of food. And there's several new kinds of pressure cooker out there that save so much time. It used to be that when I was doing the chicken, I'd have to load the chicken. I'd load the plate up with all these frozen chicken breasts, put them in the microwave, have to get it out, turn the chicken, move it all around as I continue to try and defrost the chicken. Then you make your sauce, and you got to marinate it for several days, and then you got to cook it. Well, now take these new pressure cookers, and I'll throw in all these frozen chicken breasts. I'll throw 10, 11, 12 breasts in this thing, and it's literally a two-ingredient recipe. I'll grab a can of salsa, open the can of salsa, and pour it in with the chicken.
Wow.
Put the lid on and set it for 15 minutes. And these are frozen solid breasts. You don't have to fry 15 minutes. Because they're frozen, it takes a little bit of time to get up to pressure, 20 minutes or so. But once it's at pressure, 15 minutes, you're done, and it is tender, delicious. I will never defrost or marinate chicken again for the rest of my life.
Well, first, you're making me hungry. Let's get that out of the way. And second, you know, what we're trying to say and what you're trying to say is that, you know, there is not a lot of effort that needs to be put in this. There has to be some effort, of course, but it's not as a big of a process as people think it is that, oh my God, I got to set aside an hour before we shift to cook my meal.
Yeah.
So you're just talking about the fact that you can do this a lot quicker. So we start prepping our meals. We get an idea in our head what we want to cook or eat on our shift. And of course you talked about chicken, which is one of my personal favorites. So now it's going heavy into the diet and the exercise. So how do we incorporate that whole process of meal planning into your weight loss plan?
So once you've got, you just create a standard. So along with the chicken, you're doing rice in a rice cooker. You're boiling a bunch of vegetables and then just weighing them out. You in advance, you purchase several different kinds of bowls, containers, whatever makes it the easiest for you. You weigh them out, you separate them into the bowls. So you're eating a consistent amount each time. A simple food scale helps you do that. But you weigh them in the individual bowls and stick them in the freezer and they're frozen, ready to go. So when it's time to go on shift, I grab a sack and throw the frozen meal into the sack, and then my lunch is ready to go.
That sounds like a really good idea. I remember back in the days when I was doing narcotics investigations, I always had a meal on the go just the same way, so I know it worked for me as well. But you know what? The thing I always get is now everybody has a different metabolism, correct?
Correct.
So how do I determine where my metabolism needs to be?
This is the fun stuff. This is where the plan of attack, where it comes together, and you can start really seeing some positive results. But step one is to try and determine when your metabolism is currently set at. We are all different. We are all unique. We're all going to have a unique set of metabolism. And that can be your body type, your gender. There's so many, height, weight, age, so many things determine metabolism. So the easiest way to do that, there's several online calculators. And if you don't want to go through this process, you can use an online calculator. It just won't be as accurate. But ideally what you're going to do is get an app on your phone. And there are lots of different apps. Some are paid. Some are free. Most of them are really good, and pretty much all of them do what's needed. But you're just going to track all your calories for 5 to 7 days. If you eat something, you log it. And the critical part of this is you do not adjust behavior. We want if you're currently not gaining weight and you're not losing weight, you're just basically maintaining, then whatever your current habits are, what you're eating right now is pretty much that's where your metabolism's set at. So we want to know where that metabolism is set at. The problem is when people start tracking, let's say they would have eaten this donut, now they realize, oh my goodness, this donut is 600 calories or whatever.
So they skew the numbers is what you're trying to say?
Exactly. Yeah. They don't eat the donut because tracking incentivizes them not to eat the donut. Well, if you would have eaten the donut before, eat the donut now, because we need to know what your current metabolism is set at.
You need a realistic average, right?
Exactly. We need an accurate baseline to work off of.
Okay.
But once you've got that, you take those 5 to 7 days, you average them together, and that's probably going to be fairly close to what your metabolism set at. And there's no perfect number here. You don't got to spend a ton of time on this. Just get the number so we can start gathering data.
Okay. So we already talked about how we can monitor this using an app on our phone or doing something online. So the bigger question is, so based on what you just discussed, how do you lose the weight?
Okay.
How do you lose the system to lose weight?
Typically what most of us do is we'll do some radical cut. The problem with this, if you do a radical cut, something called metabolic adaptation occurs, and you're only going to lose for a finite amount of time until your metabolism adjusts to whatever you're consuming. So we're going to try and take advantage of this. We're going to work with our body, not against it. Okay. We're going to do, instead of one drastic cut, we're going to do several small incremental cuts. So something like 200 or 300 calories. And I like to take it from carbohydrates first. You don't want to do too much because carbs have been unnecessarily vilified. We get our energy from carbs. If you want good workouts, you got to be getting enough carbs. But I'll initially take 200 to 300 calories. And then you monitor. You got to gather data, just like we gathered data before. But you're gonna weigh yourself every day and kind of watch what your body's doing. And as long as you're continuing along a track that you want, there's no sense to do any more cut. If you're continuing to lose about a pound per week, there's no need to continue to do additional cuts. Now, within a matter of weeks, the body will acclimate, metabolic adaptation occurs, and you're going to stop losing weight at that cut. Then you just do another small incremental cut, or you can do some variation of a small incremental cut and a slight uptick in cardio to make sure you're burning enough calories.
You know, and Brandon, this makes so much sense to me, because when you put it in these terms, and for those of us who've worked out with weights will understand this, it's almost like when you start a strength training program. You don't start day one by benching 135 pounds, then day two go to 350.
100%.
It just doesn't work. It will never work. So in order to get my strength up, I do the incremental increases to get to a point where I'm going to get the strength I need. Same here is this kind of the opposite flow, where I do incremental decreases
exactly. In
my caloric intake to get where I need to go. Is that what we're talking about here?
Exactly. 100% right there.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And then to continue on, and a problem with a lot of the mainstream diets is there's no exit plan. So I do this radical cut, my body adjusts, my metabolism adjusts, and now what do? I can either, my options are terrible. I can either continue to cut or I just give up and go back to what I was before. Neither of those are desirable. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do here is, you don't want to cut, so you don't want to get your calories too low. We don't want our metabolism adjusting to really significantly low calories. Personally, I won't go anywhere below like 1600 calories.
Okay. Again, that's tough. That's very low caloric intake.
Yeah, I don't like going any lower than that. You start losing muscle, your body's not processing, and metabolic adaptation just is getting too low.
Okay.
So you do these small incremental cuts, you get down to where you want to be. Even if you're not where you want to be, you still just don't go, you don't want to go too low. You get to this point where the body's no longer adapting, but let's say you've gone down to like 1700, 1800 calories, and now your body's no longer losing weight, it's adjusted. Well, you've been cutting for 16 weeks, it's time to reverse diet or go back. So it would be just as you went small incremental cuts to go down, you're going to do the opposite, and you're going to do some small incremental additions to take yourself back up. The end goal being you want to get your metabolism set back to that original 2,500, but if you went slow down these small incremental cuts to lose weight and then slow back up, you're working with your metabolism. Ideally, what's happened now is you're back to your 2,500 calorie maintenance, but at a leaner, healthier body weight than when you started.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. So this, you'll get back to that calorie level that you were used to, but you just won't see the weight gain associated with it or the fat increase associated with it.
Absolutely. And then the big important point is if you spent 16 weeks cutting to get there, spend 16 weeks adding to get back.
Okay, it makes so much sense. I really enjoyed it. I actually wrote that down. So it just makes sense to me that you're doing that. And again, also, we talked about this on previous podcasts, cardiovascular exercise, strength training, also important.
Yes,
here, correct?
Very, very.
You can't out-exercise a bad diet, correct?
Correct.
All right. So is there any final points you want to bring up before we end today's conversation, Brandon?
We just need to do what we can to make sure we have a healthy relationship with food. Diet, food shouldn't be associated with guilt. And we are all going to fall short at some point in a diet. You're going to fail. Making a mistake, a one-time thing, that's a mistake. That's not a problem. What we don't want to do is continue to make repeated mistakes because now we're starting a new habit. So basically just, if you fall short on a diet, which we all will at some point, get up, dust yourself off, do better tomorrow.
Keep moving forward. I think that's the best way to look at it. Just don't give up on it. Just do better tomorrow.
Yep. Now, if you find yourself if you find that you're dusting yourself off and trying to do better tomorrow 6 out of 7 days a week, your plan's probably too aggressive. Pick something that's
time to change your plan.
Yeah, pick something that's a little easier to stick to and more sustainable.
That's your common sense approach to dieting right there. Yeah. Dieting 101, right? Excellent. Excellent stuff. Okay, Brandon, listen, I really appreciate your time again and talking to us about diet and meal prep. I think that's valuable to anybody who's listening to this, especially when you talk about the law enforcement career and our options to what we have to eat out there, which are sometimes very few and very, very high in calories. For those who are listening, please if you have the chance, you can visit the Valor website, valorforblue.org. That being said, Brandon, again, thank you for your time, and I thank everyone for listening.
Thank you.
The information presented in this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not substitute for or replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. You should always seek the advice of your physician or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding medical conditions or treatments before undertaking any new healthcare regimen, fitness, or nutrition program. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something said in this podcast.
The Valor Program is dedicated to delivering training, developing resources, and conducting research to improve the safety and wellness of law enforcement professionals across the country. For additional information regarding the Valor Program, please visit valorforblue.org, download the app on the Apple or Google Play Store, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or send us an email at valor@iir.com. The Bureau of Justice Assistance, BJA, and the Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice, is committed to making our nation's communities safer through resources, developing programs, and providing grant funding opportunities to support state, local, and tribal criminal justice efforts. All are available at no cost. Please visit www.bja.gov to learn more.